Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every...
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy, Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. It's the Wednesday edition of Locked On Rams, so you know what that means. It is crossover edition. We've got Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers joining the show today. Really excited. We had a great conversation earlier. We'll get to that in a few minutes. You know the deal. iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast. Go give us a follow, share with a friend, grow the audience. I got to say thank you. Locked On Rams has grown amazing since week one, and that is due to you guys interacting on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's Locked On Rams on all accounts. Join the Facebook group. I keep teasing this, but I've got a giveaway that's coming up. I'm really excited about just kind of ironing out some details still. And to all the new listeners, welcome. 5 days a week, Rams content, your team, every day, only on the Locked On Podcast Network. Tons of shows on the network, so take a look around. Locked On NFL is amazing. Locked On Fantasy Football is great. Locked On Lakers and Clippers are killing it locally here, so go check them out. Basketball season's in full swing. There is never a shortage to talk about in the sports world, and Locked On Network has got you covered everywhere you look. Also, before we get going, I wanted to give a shout out to the intro that you guys have heard for probably every single episode. I think I've had it up there. We started with that back in Rams podcast days, and we still use that. I kind of snagged the clip and brought it over. Our old sound engineer, Sam Berggren, who just got married. Congratulations, bud. He connected us with a band, a local band in Chicago. Their name is The Hot Moms. Instantly, we loved them already. And the track is called Tease. So you guys ever want to check them out? I think they actually are thehotmoms.com. I Googled them today just to make sure I had the song name right. But they're a local band out of Chicago. I actually got to meet a couple of them at Sam's wedding. So it was awesome. They did a great job. We love having them as our intro. I've been throwing on some music lately. So if you guys ever have any requests, you know, throw it out there. If I don't like it, I'll just throw it right back. But I just want to scratch that itch for a few of you guys. I know some people hit me up on Facebook yesterday and asked me about that. So I want to make sure if there's anyone else there in the world that's wondering what that song is at the intro. It's the Hot Moms. Well, I really quick want to get to a piece of Rams news before we get going here. I talked yesterday with James that the Rams were bringing in some guys to kind of do a workout. And we said we're always looking to upgrade our practice squad and things like that. Well, today we signed Austin Prohl. If that name sounds familiar, yes, that is Ricky Prohl's son. We signed him to the practice squad today, and in a related move, we dropped wide receiver Steven Mitchell. Local USC guy that we've had on the roster all season that never really had an opportunity to come up to the active roster, and we saw a couple wide receivers go down, so just never really clicked for him. But now we're bringing in Austin Prohl, son of Ricky Prohl. I know he's worn 87 in the past. He's had a couple NFL stints on practice squads, so it is available. That's Ricky Prohl's old number, so maybe for throwback for dad, he'll throw that on. But wanted to share that with you guys. I thought that's pretty cool. I'm really excited to see if we can see Prohl get a call up and see that name on a Rams jersey again. It'll be pretty fun. But with that said, let's just get over to the crossover. I'm really excited about it. Me and Peter Bukowski had a great conversation today. Go check him out. So with that, I'm going to toss it over to our conversation earlier. He will bring us into the conversation. I will see you guys tomorrow with Vinny Bonsignor on our Thursday edition of Locked On Rams. And I guess I can sign out now. Until next time, Rams Nation. Peace.
Bear, it is great to be with you on our Crossover Wednesday brought to you by MyBookie. And this is, I think, a matchup that everyone is looking forward to in the NFL world. The Green Bay Packers come in 3-2-1. Probably should be 4-2 based on the egregious Clay Matthews call in the Vikings game. But it is still Aaron Rodgers against Jared Goff. It is still the 7-0 Rams against the team that insists it is a Super Bowl contender. We're going to find out on Sunday. Where do you see this Rams team 7 weeks into the season? And are you already hearing whispers about 16-0, 19-0, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that because the whispers really have picked up this last week. I mean, there was talks and excitement about getting to 5-0 and 6-0 and talking about historic Rams teams. And then you get to 7-0 and you start to see the end of that light down there and you start to kind of come up with that undefeated. And it's tough because you don't want to get ahead of yourself because the Green Bay Packers are coming into town with Aaron Rodgers. And this is one that we circled at the beginning of the year when we saw the schedule and we said, oh, man, we get Aaron Rodgers out here in L.A. It's like the Cal Bowl of the former Cal quarterbacks. It's going to be a great game. I'll tell you right now, we do feel a lot more confident at this point in the season than we did when that schedule came out and we're trying to pick wins and losses and things like that and predict the schedule. And all of a sudden we go on this massive run, and you know, we've seen the Packers show some weaknesses that we haven't seen in the past couple of years. But Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, so as long as he is out there, it will be a game. But it's kind of interesting. This is, I know it's been talked about a lot this week. You probably mentioned it on your podcast, but the biggest point spread in his career that he's coming into in the regular season, it's now, I checked on my bookie, it's -9. The Rams are favored by 9 at home. I don't think that really does anything to Aaron Rodgers, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think if anything, a guy who has a Michael Jordan-esque way of manufacturing and amplifying slights over the course of his career. I mean, this is someone that can name every player taken ahead of him, in that fateful draft. That is something that I do think will motivate Aaron Rodgers. Now, you go back and you look at some of those games where he has been a big underdog. The Packers have lost most of those games. And it's because they've been playing on the road against really good teams. There have been some extenuating circumstances in some of those games against the Cardinals, for example, in 2015. He basically had none of his players on offense. I mean, right. that was a skeleton team. The injury report that we have at this point suggests this is going to be the healthiest Packers team that they've had basically since week one. Or at the very least, since the second half of week one, when Aaron Rodgers came out post-injury and most of the rest of the team was healthy, and they really put it to the Bears in the second half of that game. But if you're the Packers looking at this game, I think the thing that you're going to look at is the offense is what really has not been what we thought it would be, at least scoring points. And if they can be, they can absolutely be in this game with the Rams, because if you look non-CJ Beathard edition, the last three teams that the Rams have played with that have like average to above average starting quarterbacks, they've been one score games. So, you know, I think Green Bay has to feel good about that. I think the questions are going to come. Can they stop Gurley? Can they block Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald? I don't know what the answers to those. I don't know if Green Bay knows the answers to those questions. But if you're the Rams and Green Bay is coming in, if there's something that you're looking at and saying, this is where I think the Rams can really take advantage and will attack Green Bay, whether it's offensively or defensively, where is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to continue to work the ground game with Todd Gurley. I mean, the man is a touchdown monster. Jared Goff at home this season's looked really good throwing the ball down the field. I mentioned yesterday on the podcast that he's in the top three as far as completions 20 or more yards down the field. So I think they're going to try to continue to stretch the ball, as we've seen that the Packers can give up some points, and they've been in a couple shootouts and putting Aaron Rodgers in that position to throw the ball a lot. You know, I saw something that Aaron Rodgers has 5 straight games of 40 passing attempts or more. Which is a lot, and that's coming into a team as far as the Rams that have been known to give up some yards on the ground. That's kind of been one of our weak spots. Even though we're a little banged up in secondary, we really turned it up against the 49ers last week. But I think sticking to the offense, it's just kind of one of those things with this team is like, just go score 35 points. And I know it sounds crazy to say, but with Sean McVay and this offense, he's done it more than he hasn't done it since he's been here in LA.
Right.
And when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers coming in that can come back from, you talked about that Bears game, coming back from halftime and what were they down, 20 points, something like that, something ridiculous. And he does it all the
17.
Time. Yeah, 17 points, and it's not out of reach. So it's one of those games where you just have to look at your offense and go, no matter how our defense is playing and what they can do to stop the run or contain Aaron Rodgers or whatever it may be, you just have to keep scoring points. And last week, we kicked a lot of field goals. Greg Zuerlein is back, which is exciting for everyone in Rams Nation, and he had a perfect day. But at the end of the day, we want him hanging out with Johnny Hecker on the sideline, not punting and not kicking field goals and having him come in and just kick extra points. So I think that's going to be another big point for us, is converting when we get close, because Aaron Rodgers is not a guy you want to kick field goals against. And with that said, as I mentioned, his passing, and you're coming in against the Rams, who have, you know, notoriously given up some yards this year, even though last game they really shut down C.J. Beathard and, you know, and their running attack. So what does the ground game look like for you guys? Because I know Aaron Jones is back, and, you know, he's looked good when he's gotten the ball, but it looks like Jamal Williams is more the number one back. How are you guys going to probably try to attack the Rams either on the ground or through the air?
Well, this is a sore spot in Packer Nation right now, because Aaron Jones is the most talented running back on this roster. And there is, I don't think there's really any evidence to suggest otherwise. And Aaron Rodgers has said he needs to get the ball more. Davante Adams has hinted that he needs to get the ball more, he being Aaron Jones. And it seems like all the fans and even all of the media in Green Bay understand that he should be playing more. And yet the only person who seems to not believe that is Mike McCarthy. And there are probably myriad reasons for that. Not the least of which is Jamal Williams is a solid workhorse running back. He's a great pass protector and he is reliable. He's going to be where he needs to be. Ty Montgomery is the most versatile of the backs. They all have roles to play in this offense. And what Mike McCarthy has struggled a little bit with is deploying them in the right situations and making sure that he's very much of the hot hand ideology, which is fine in theory, insofar as if you've got a running back who's getting chunk plays, there's no need to go away from it. But I mean, there have been times this season where Green Bay has literally taken a running back, had him on the field for an entire drive, and then the next drive, it is another running back for the entire drive. And then the next drive, it's another running back for an entire drive. And you're just sort of going, what are we doing here?
Right.
Why is this the way that these guys are being deployed? Because they each do have unique individual skill sets. I was saying to Mike Renner, a Pro Football Focus on Twitter the other day, that if the Patriots had these three running backs, they would be the best offense in football, because right. No team is better at deploying their running backs in advantageous positions than the Patriots, right? So, you know, that, I mean, they are that talented. And they are still a very efficient run game. This offense, and especially the interior offensive line, is better as run blockers than they are as pass blockers. And they're still fourth in DVOA running the ball. They were a top five run offense in DVOA last year, even with Aaron Rodgers out. So efficiency-wise, and even against teams that are expecting them to run the ball, they have shown that they can do that. I think you're going to see the Packers try and be balanced, at least early in the game, make this a game where each team only gets 6, 7, 8 possessions and say, okay, Rams, be the efficient, ultra efficient team you are, because we're not going to give you 3 and outs. And both teams are among the best in football. The Rams are number one and Green Bay, I believe, is number three in avoiding 3 and outs.
Right.
So I think what you're going to see is a lot of drives, a lot of long-ish drives, and you're going to see a lot of points. This is 100% a take the over game.
Right.
If you're looking at the Rams team, though, as Green Bay comes in, is there an area? I mean, obviously they're 7-0, they're scoring at will seemingly, but is there an area where you would be nervous with Green Bay coming in? I mean, potentially aside from the fact that Aaron Rodgers is coming to town, or is that the big factor here?
Yeah, it's tough to overlook Aaron Rodgers and find another factor. But if we take him out of the equation, because that kind of is the hands-down, no-brainer answer anytime the Packers come to town anywhere, is how do you stop that man? Because like we mentioned earlier, even when you guys are down a bunch, he's still there. And even when you right. think he's out of the game, he's still there, which is kind of crazy about him. But I think it goes back to that attack on the ground that you talked about, that you guys are very capable, but it's just finding that groove on your side to give them a flow. You talked about everyone having different drives and not being able to really get into a rhythm. I think that is important. And you mentioned, you know, New England Patriots. I think they're very good at that. And I think he's been doing that for a long, long time. So he's got a really good system of how to even get them the ball through the air. But I think our big nervous thing is outside of Aaron Rodgers is the ground game. It will be for a couple weeks until we can prove, you know, week after week that we can stop that. I think Aaron Donald is finally coming to his own on the run game. He had his best run defensive game of his career last game. Sue's been pitching in. Brockers has done great up there as well. And then we've got guys like Corey Littleton, who's just flying around everywhere, even on special teams, coming up and helping out. But I think if we can stop the run game and make it one-dimensional and where it is, Aaron Rodgers has to throw another 40 times, you know, we would hope that with pressure and Aaron Rodgers trying to extend a play, that our defense can make some plays and win that turnover battle. And you mentioned as far as the time of possession and you know, not getting three and outs and things like that. The Rams are undefeated in the Sean McVay era when they win the time of possession battle. So again, that is always something that we look to, is controlling the game, whether that is that, you know, nine play, 8-9 minute drive. But the thing with our offense is we can also have those four plays, minute and a half drive when we score really fast. So I think it's about controlling the game at home. If it is going to be a shootout, make sure we have the ball last, and also take care of time of possession. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside really quick. I got some questions for you about the defense and maybe some injuries coming into this game, but we'll take that on the other side. We're going to get a quick word from a few sponsors. We'll be right back with this Locked On crossover Rams-Packers edition. All right, guys, before we get to our next segment, I want to talk to you about the coolest thing in movies in forever. We've all been to the movies, right? Cost a bunch of money. You go into this stuffy, crowded theater. Popcorn's $900. You may not even get a good movie. But we are changing the way movies are done, and I have got the spot for you. It is called Rooftop Cinema Club, and it has landed on a rooftop near you. Come watch the latest releases and cult classics under the beautiful sky, movies by moonlight, breathtaking views, delicious cocktails, I'm in, and food, double sold. And help us put the celebration back into the cinema. Screenings in Hollywood, downtown LA, San Diego, Houston, New York are on sale now at rooftopcinemaclub.com. Again, that's rooftopcinemaclub.com. And because they are fans of the show, they are hooking you guys up with an exclusive promo code that's LOCKEDON10. So make sure to visit the website, use the promo code. They'll also give you a full list of films and showtimes up there. You can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, at Rooftop Cinema Club, and on Twitter, at Rooftop Cinema for updates. They do a bunch of special nights, Q&As, photo ops. It's just a bunch of fun. It's really made the movie-going experience great again. So guys, go check them out. Tell me what movie you're going to see. I'm looking to go get my experience here in LA. Let me know what you think. Let me know what movie you're seeing. RooftopCinemaClub.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Believe me, they are changing the way you watch movies. So go check it out on a rooftop near you. All right, we are back. Crossover, Green Bay Packers, LA Rams, this week at the Coliseum. We've got Peter Bukowski from Locked On Green Bay, and we've got myself, Bear Motter, with Locked On Rams. Excited about this matchup. Packers travel well. This is going to be a fun one in the Coliseum. Tickets, by far, are the most expensive they've been all season. I went to the Arizona Cardinals game for $14 to go see an NFL game, and it's not the case this week. I think the get-in price is around $180. Like I mentioned, the Packers travel well. LA, it's kind of a transplant city, so there's been talks about, oh, the Rams aren't even owning their own area at times when certain teams come in. This is going to be a case where we're going to see a lot of away fans coming into this game. Have you heard anybody out in Green Bay area talking about coming out to LA?
Oh, absolutely. There will be 20 to 30,000 Packer fans in LA. There is absolutely no question about it.
Yeah, there's a big thing going around Rams Nation right now of, like, if season ticket holders are selling to Green Bay fans, we don't want them. You know, they're really kind of giving their own Ram fans big grief on, you know, make sure you know who you're selling your tickets to. But it's going to be interesting because, again, that stadium, they only end up selling about 70 to 75,000 of the 90,000 available. They don't sell them all out, but you're right. If there's 20,000, they will be heard, and I'm sure that's going to help Green Bay on the road. But taking a look at that, we talked about our offenses and Aaron Rodgers. We could do a whole podcast, every podcast about him. But as we flip the script here and, you know, we look at our offense that we talked about, Todd Gurley, Robert Woods is continuing to improve his career from year to year as far as production and accountability. I mean, he's just kind of our go-to wide receiver at this point with Cooper Kupp out. And then obviously Brandon Cooks, the deep ball threat. Jared Goff seems really comfortable. Tell me about what our challenge is and how the defense is going to adjust to all those weapons, and who are you guys most afraid of? And looking at it, what's the best way to shut down this Rams team?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, right? I think first and foremost, Mike Pettine has made it clear over the course of his career and over the course of his tenure in Green Bay to this point that he is most concerned about the passing game. And even if that means sacrificing playing light personnel and saying you want to run the ball, feel free to run the ball. I think that is something that he may have to change this week, because the Rams, for all of the talk about their big playability, and it is absolutely warranted with Cooks and Woods and the way that they can scheme guys free. But the thing is, the Rams are one of the most balanced offenses in football in terms of the amount of production that comes from the run game versus the passing game, and the number of called runs versus called passes. That's not something that you would necessarily expect from a team that is among league leaders in points and yards and all of those things, especially not in the modern NFL. I think if you look at the kind of plays and players that have beaten Green Bay to the course to this point in the season, it is they have had some issues with deep balls. So I think Brandon Cooks is going to be a focus this week. Now, part of that is the Packers have been without their rookie Jaire Alexander, who is their speed guy. He's their slot guy. I think you're going to see him a lot on Brandon Cooks. The Packers really struggled to contain Marquise Goodwin last week, in large part because they just don't have as much speed at corner with him out. He is back and practicing this week. I am interested to see how the Green Bay Packers decide to defend what is going to be largely 11 personnel for the Rams, with three receivers, a tight end, and Gurley in the backfield.
Right.
Are they going to play dime? Are they going to play nickel? Are they going to play – they have a sort of hybrid nickel where they play similar to what the Rams do, with Mark Barron playing de facto linebacker. So I think from that standpoint, they're going to say, okay, if you guys want to run the ball, that's fine. We're just not going to give up big plays over the top. And the one thing that Green Bay has been great at is, despite the fact that the Rams boast, you know, according to ESPN's Next Gen Stats, the best pass blocking duo in football on the offensive line, Green Bay has had the best blitz package in the league. And so, you know, I think the goal is going to be, if they can get stops on first and second down, and you're making the Rams play 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10, even 3rd and 6 plus, that is when Mike Pettine really shines. And being able to confuse Goff, who is able to play mostly downhill most of his season and most of his season last year.
Right.
If you can get him into some of those longer situations, maybe you can still confuse him and scheme guys free, because that's what Mike Pettine has done all year. How do you get to that point if you can't stop the run? I don't know.
Right.
I think that's going to be the task that Green Bay has this week. When you look at this defense with the Rams offense, I mean, do you think it's the kind of game? I mean, Green Bay, a bottom five team to stopping the run by DVOA. Is that something where you think this could be a 25-30 carry Todd Gurley game?
Yeah, we talked about that going into Denver too. They're kind of near the bottom. It was cold weather, and coming into the game, we just kind of had this feeling it was going to be a Todd Gurley show. He only had 15 carries, I believe, this last game. And that's what I love about Sean McVay, is when you have a stud MVP candidate like that, obviously still getting the touchdowns, but it's tempting to not just turn around and hand the ball all the time. But you talked about how they are so balanced, and I got to give Sean McVay so much credit for that, because one, you're creating really tough on the defense to try to figure out what's coming. And then two, if you look long-term with this, Todd Gurley's going to get to the end of the season. He leads the league in yards right now. But he's going to be healthy. He's going to have some fuel left in the tank. They're not overusing him. But it kind of sets up a game like this to where you look at it and go, okay, well, they're at bottom five as far as rush goes. Let's lean on them a little bit more at home. We talked about this could potentially be a shootout. Just as much as you guys want to keep the ball out of our offense hand, it's the same going back to Aaron Rodgers, right? So I could see that where McVay comes in and says, you know, we're going to get him up in that range of 25 plus carries to really balance that out. And then going off of the play action, Jared Goff, I mean, that is where he really does a lot of damage. He's top three in the NFL coming off the play action. He was same last year. It's really tough when Gurley runs, and you got to respect that because he's getting big chunks. So I do think that's the key to this game as far as you're looking at that defense. And you talked about the deep ball going over the top, and that's what sets it up is just a bite for that 1 second on Todd Gurley to go over the top. So I agree with you. I think that would be the smartest thing to do. But again, Sean McVay has his own way of seeing things, and sometimes it's almost like when you see the obvious, he sees something behind it, and we'll have to really find out and see what happens on Sunday. As we look ahead with some of this stuff, you talked about Aaron Rodgers, and you said you guys are pretty injury-free. I saw you guys had a couple guys come off the IR. Are we expecting to see anybody else play in this game on Sunday?
Not that we weren't expecting to otherwise play. I mean, Jake Kumerow is not coming off the IR. It doesn't sound like at this point, even though he's eligible to practice this week. So, you know, in terms of guys being back, Jair Alexander is going to be back. It looks like Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb are going to be back for this game. Bashaud Breeland, who the Packers signed a couple weeks ago, who I really think could help this team, and especially, you know, had Cooper Kupp been available for this game, would have given the Packers some critical depth. But it sounds like, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that he's not going to play this week.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. What was that?
That Cooper Kupp is probably not going to play this week.
Yeah, very true. It sounds. I mean, at this point, there's just really no reason to. If with the knee injury, it just McVay's been pretty cautious on injuries in general and how people practice. So as much as we'd love to have him back, we talked about the offense allowing them to get that extra breathing time, that extra rest time. So I wouldn't expect him back this week. They haven't made an official announcement. He keeps it close to the vest. He's kind of has this Belichick-esque when it comes to the injury report. He puts as much as needed on there, but he'll share with us hopefully later in the season. We also we have Obo Okoronkwo, who is coming off our IR, and all signs sound like he's healthy, but we have no word if he's going to be make his first appearance. Rams Nation is really waiting to kind of hear what they're going to do with him because, you know, we've talked about needing some help off the edge, off the rush, and he's definitely one of those guys, rookie out of Oklahoma, that we're expecting to have a major impact right when he gets back. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside one last time, get some last words from some sponsors before we wrap this thing up. We'll do some predictions on the other side. This is the crossover edition, Green Bay Packers, LA Rams, this Sunday at the Coliseum. We'll be right back after this. All right, we are back. Third and final segment, Wednesday, Locked On Rams crossover edition. Peter Bukowski, Bear Motter. It's going to be a good one. We talked about Packers traveling well. We talked about both offenses can be extremely scary. Defenses both have their miscues or their areas that could be attacked. If you look at the yardage given and earned on both sides, it's pretty close. This thing looks pretty good on paper. As we talk about traveling across the country, you're coming off a bye week. If I remember correctly, I thought I saw something that the Packers are like 4-1 in the last 5 years coming off the bye, which is pretty good. How do you guys feel coming in off this bye? And with that spread we talked about, 9 points, how do you feel about that?
Well, so the statistic, even going further back, is the Packers in the Aaron Rodgers era are 7-2 coming off the bye, and one of those was in Rodgers' first season as the starter. So really, I mean, in their last eight, they're 7-1 coming off the bye, with Aaron Rodgers, that is. I think if you're the Packers, this is the healthiest the team has been, as I've said, and they feel like they're close. 500 yards of offense the last 2 weeks. They haven't quite matched that with the points, although they did against the 49ers. They certainly didn't against Detroit, but that was with some uncharacteristic turnovers. And they haven't been as good in the red zone as they've been in years past. In fact, Aaron Rodgers last year, before he got hurt, basically said, I know when a play is called if we're going to score. That was how effective they were. And part of that is Rodgers' persona and his. That's just the way that he is. He just has that sort of swagger and confidence about him. But they haven't been as good because Rodgers hasn't been as healthy. And he's been playing the last 2 weeks with three rookie receivers. So, I mean, getting everyone back, getting Rodgers healthy, I think is going to alleviate some of the stress of those red zone problems. It's going to make it easier for Green Bay to get off to better starts, faster starts, not be in these holes early in games because they can't score and have to come back in the second half. They deserve praise for the adjustments that they've made in the second halves of these games, but falling behind early is just not something that they can do against the Rams. I think the Packers cover but lose. I think it's one of those like 30, very similar to the Seahawks game, 35-31 type games. I've seen the like, oh, the Rams are going to put up 60 on the Packers. I don't see that. I think, right. First of all, that's just like not a thing that happens in the NFL. But I also just think I have too much respect for Mike Patton and the adjustments that I think he can make. And frankly, the talent on this defense, to predict anything like that. So I think the Packers cover but lose. I think 35-31, 38-35, something like that. I think it's going to be a really compelling game. But from your perspective, you know, the Rams have been playing well all season, obviously. They got a game from the Vikings against a team that can really score. They got a game against Seahawks against a team that really had struggled to score most right. of the year. It does seem like, despite the record, this might be the biggest test the Rams have faced to this point. The Chargers, you know, you really got a sloppy Chargers team at that point in the season. If that game were played this Sunday, it might look a lot different. From your perspective, just build me a roadmap for how you would see this game going if the Packers were to win, and then build me what you think is the roadmap for what actually happens.
Yeah, for roadmap for Packers, I think it goes with just what we talked about early, keeping the Rams offense off the field. I mean, that is the most dangerous part about this team right now. So if there's a way that you can get really long, extended drives, take care of the ball, because we saw the turnover battle, the Rams do extremely well. I mean, most teams do when they win the turnover battle, but this year has been a true case to that. I mean, last week with four turnovers for the Rams, the Niners never really had a shot. So when you're on the road, take care of the football, run the ball so you can really eat up some of that clock, and then score touchdowns, because as we talked about earlier in the game, it's something that the Rams struggled a little bit with last week. So if you can trade touchdowns for field goals, I think that's going to be a big part of a roadmap to get a win. What I think's going to happen, I think a little bit more speaking to what you talked about, I don't think the Rams cover the spread here, just because I think Aaron Rodgers is one of those tough guys that he's never, I mean, when he's down 20 with, you know, 3 minutes left, he could put up 14 points in a hurry and cover that spread and come back. He's one of those guys that you just never want to turn your back on, even when you're up 10 points. So I don't think they cover, because I think Aaron Rodgers will continue to fight. But I think the Rams do, as we talked about those turnovers, they're coming off a really hot defensive performance. I think that's going to really encourage them in this game. We thought that's what we were going to see every game from this defense when we signed all those big names in the offseason. Obviously, Talib won't be playing. He's still injured. But guys like Troy Hill stepped up. Sam Shields, seeing his old teammate, we're hoping that he gets a little extra boost, and hopefully we'll see him out there a little bit more. Wade Phillips talked about using him on third down situations. He's a little bit better in the pass game when it comes to longer situations than first and second down. But I think that's what happens is Todd Gurley goes with that 25 carries that we talked about, really eats up some clock and gets in the end zone. And then Jared Goff can extend those passes downfield and work on some of that secondary that you mentioned is a little banged up. So that's the roadmap for us. That's kind of how I see it going. I think this is going to be a huge win for the Rams as far as kind of just that extra confidence boost. You talked about the games that we've played, and the Vikings played us really good, and the Seahawks are coming into town not too far. But we have Drew Brees right around the corner. I know Sean McVay's not looking that way, but we are as fans and as media here. And a game like this against a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers is just – it's a mental boost. It's the Packers. You got the Packers to beat. We've heard them their name in national and Super Bowl talk for a long time. So to knock off a team like that in the NFC will really be a big boost for this team moving forward in the season and really into the next handful of games. I know you guys have a bunch of road games coming up. I think it's four of the next five or something like that against some really good teams as well. So the same could be said for you guys. Really a good start on the road. But that's kind of what I see happening in this game. But again, that's why we play on Sundays, right?
Absolutely. You know, I was looking at the schedule. It's Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, and Patrick Mahomes in the next 4 weeks for the Rams.
Right,
so
right.
I think you can make the case the most important stretch of games to this point in Sean McVay's career as a head coach in LA and potentially this week. I mean, you mentioned the prestige of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I think you could make the case this game to start this stretch is the most important game that the Rams have had probably since the playoff game, right?
Oh, by far. And that's the exciting thing is you're looking at both these schedules for both teams that kind of is, you know, the start, like you mentioned for us and the start for you guys as well. This is the game that kind of kicks off both of those runs for these teams. So it'll be interesting to see how that kicks off. Obviously, the Rams are in a little bit more comfortable position where they're undefeated, so a loss won't be as impactful in our division. I feel like we already got this division wrapped up. But yes, as far as moving forward, this is going to be a great game. Tons of storylines. I hope everyone stays healthy and we can see, you know, really impactful, high-flying game because I think that's kind of what we're in taste for here. But Peter, I appreciate it so much. Guys, make sure to go give everyone here a follow. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, Google Podcasts. Subscribe, comment, share, interact with us on social. You can find me at LockedOnRams on Twitter and at LA_RamblingBear. Peter, where can everyone find you?
I am Peter_Bukowski. It's very easy. Plus at LockedOnPackers. So we are here to serve on social.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you doing this. Best of luck. It's scary for me. I actually have a few fantasy players going this week, so I wouldn't mind a shootout with a big Rams win, but it's going to be tough. I'll take a fantasy loss over, you know, getting a Rams win, but best of luck moving forward the rest of the season, and hopefully we get to talk again maybe when it comes playoff time.
Yeah, this was really fun. Hopefully we will get to talk again. In the playoffs, I think that would be a lot of fun. And probably if we do, it'll be in LA again. So the Rams will have that advantage. And, you know, who knows? We'll see what happens. It's going to be fun.